Have you had your soup today? And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Joy, and I'm in the studio today with Summer, and we are Sheologians, where we put the she in shenanigans. You like that one?
That one's the best one. I don't think we're going to top it.
Yeah, no, it's a great one. But I don't know that we're going to top it. Let's not put that on ourselves just yet.
No.
We can top it. Okay, so we're Sheologians, and today we are going to talk about something super exciting. What is that, Summer? You're better at explaining it than I am.
Okay. Well, I would actually like to just take it back to the inerrancy of Scripture and why that's important.
Oh.
But I do have to start with why I feel like we should talk about this.
Right.
So yesterday, well, I guess I shouldn't say yesterday because I don't know when you're listening to
we
this,
don't know.
Dear listener.
Right.
I don't know.
Whenever.
Let's just say recently.
Okay.
Recently.
Like it?
Yes. I engaged with this woman online, or I attempted to engage with her.
Okay.
Her name is Jory Micah, and she has a bit of a following. She and Rachel Held Evans are actually on the same, they have the same publisher. And
oh, okay.
They're a bit in the same vein. And right. I've tried to engage with her before. I don't know why. I think she's interesting.
Yeah. These are by no means women that we just hate.
No, I have no hatred for her.
So no. Let me just get that out
no.
of the way.
Yes. She has quite the following. And so I like to talk about theology. Did you know that? I like to talk about theology.
That's and why we're here.
And Jory Micah said some things on her page that were troublesome, to say the least. And I attempted to engage with her, and it was a bit of a train wreck.
Yeah.
And so it just got me thinking about women in general and how we interact, how we see someone if they are engaging in false teaching, and what is our basis for saying something like that.
Yeah.
So I approached Jory because she made comments on her, I think she tweeted it originally, but I saw it on her Facebook. That the church says that you can do all things through Christ, but you can't teach.
Yeah.
As if that's some kind of hypocritical message that the church sends out.
Right.
And so this was such a blatant twisting of Scripture and what Paul meant in Philippians 4 that I just felt it needed to be approached. And so I basically just tried to point out to Jory that Paul was not saying you can do anything you want to do.
Right.
I mean, how often do we see that particular verse twisted in that way, right?
Right.
I mean, it's dangerous.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with it being her, necessarily.
Oh,
it had nothing to do with a meme hatred or anything like that.
No.
It's simply that you saw the word being completely twisted.
Yeah.
And you just thought, wait,
this needs to be pointed
out. I need to say something.
This needs to be pointed out.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to go into detail on everything that happened on Facebook because I think that'd be a waste of time.
Right.
But what I will say is that essentially what was happening there was she comes from an egalitarian viewpoint. She said in a video recently she wants to be the next Joyce Meyer. So obviously She and I are coming from very different places. And ultimately, when you appeal to Scripture, you need to be faithful in your treatment of Scripture, because Scripture is not something that you should take lightly, and it's not something that you should use to forward your own agenda. Like, Scripture should be your be-all, end-all of where you get your agenda from.
Right.
And so the twisting of that verse in particular, Paul's talking about his trials being brought low, being content in his trials, and obviously the message that he's sending is not that you can do anything that you want, you can fly.
Right.
And the message definitely would not have gone against what he said in his letter to Timothy when he said that women should not be pastors or teachers. And so I felt that was important to engage with. So, you know, I think women have a hard time with controversy. I think
sometimes
they can have a hard time with controversy or with approaching things.
It's funny because sometimes women are like, I'm going to talk about this for 20 hours.
Yes.
And it's going to be mean and backhanded.
Yes.
Or I'm passionate about this.
Yes.
And then for some reason, when they see certain, I don't even, conflict is not the right word for it. Because, well, conflict is the right word for it, but unfortunately our society sees conflict as
negative.
Like they have, you know, labeled it in this, well, they've changed it in this Orwellian way.
Right.
To where conflict actually means something that it doesn't mean.
Right. And so, I mean, Jory, if you're listening to this, Jory, she said that I'm a religious troll, a relentless hypocrite. I mean, she was really upset, and I would love to actually have a real dialogue with her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel all those negative things about her that yeah. I think she's feeling for me.
Right.
But ultimately, what concerns me about Jory Micah and friends of hers is their treatment of scripture. And it should be important that women can read something that Jory Micah is saying like that and recognize why it is false.
Yes.
And go back to the scriptures to validate that. And we should be able to understand that and call that out and see it right away. And my concern is that maybe a lot of us aren't capable of doing that. So one of Jory Micah's favorite women is Glennon Doyle Melton. Have you heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
So Glennon, she has a book in Target. I actually saw it the other day.
Oh, okay.
She's a great orator. She's easy to listen to. She's been on TED Talks.
Okay.
And she is a vile, vile, false teacher.
Yeah.
She is a pantheist. She's said on her blog before that every person is divine, which is pantheism in its finest.
We are gods.
We're like little gods.
Yeah.
There are gods inside of you, which is just a dangerous, dangerous heresy that we should be able to recognize on point. If someone ever says to you, you're a little god, just know.
No. I'm not.
Pantheism, run far away the other direction. Don't let them say what else they're going to say. And so one, like I said, Jory Micah loves Melton. And I just wanted to take a second to read to you Glennon's feelings about scripture, because she does claim to be a Christian.
Okay.
And this is one of the scariest things I've ever read coming from someone who claims to be a Christian. She says, "The Bible was inspired by God, but it was written, translated, and interpreted by imperfect people just like us. This means that the passing of the sacred scripture from generation to generation and from culture to culture has been a little bit like the," are you ready for it? "Telephone game you play at school."
Bad argument.
False. "After thousands of years, it's impossible to judge the original spirit of some scripture. We believe that when in doubt, mercy triumphs judgment." So your parents, this is a fictional letter to if her child came out as gay, by the way. "So your parents are Christians who study and pray and then carefully choose what we follow in the Bible based on whether or not it matches our understanding of Jesus's message."
Mm.
So this is their treatment of scripture, and this needs to be understood in our dealings with them and our discussions with them, is what is their view of scripture? Well, number one, inerrancy out the window.
Right.
We can't be sure this is what the original authors meant, is what she's saying.
Right.
Or even what God meant, because imperfect people wrote it.
Right.
And she's saying, she has no understanding of the transmission of scripture. If you ever hear someone liken the transmission of the text to the telephone game, please know they've gone to a liberal university and they don't understand the first thing about.
And the evidence behind the historicity of the Bible is plentiful and very available on the internet.
Very available. So James White has some excellent resources on this topic.
Okay.
I think he's done some on Apologia Radio, hasn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So check that out if you want to know how the text was given down throughout thousands of years, because we can just throw everything she said out the window.
Right.
And just know that, I mean, we're talking, well, like in the transmission of the text, we're talking very, even in the different translations, different languages, we have old
yes,
copies of the text, and very little has changed, and nothing in terms
that
of
would
content
change doctrine. Absolutely.
Yes, has changed.
Right.
And that, like I said, readily available information. Yes. So if you hear someone saying that you can't trust
right
the text because right it was written by imperfect people, or if you hear telephone game,
yes,
that means that they're, it doesn't, and what I'm not saying is that they're a huge idiot and slap them in
right
the face and
no
run away. What I am saying is that they are not giving you correct information.
No. So the New Testament is the most, we have more information about what the New Testament says. It is the most historically testified document that we've ever had in the history of the world,
yes,
which I think is supernatural. Absolutely. I have
oh,
no
yeah
problem saying that. No one's questioning what Homer wrote, and we have
right
like
way less
1/100th of a percent
yes
left to verify what he wrote. And so I think you can see this as a clear attack upon scripture and a clear misunderstanding and a way to say, well, we're just going to base what we believe on what we feel
right
the overall message should
living
be
your life, and then backtracking to the
right
Bible to make it fit your
right
life.
Yes. So this is Glennon Doyle Melton's view of scripture. Just throw it out the window and pray about how you should feel, which is one of the most dangerous things someone could ever tell you if they care for your heart and your soul.
Yes.
And I think it testifies, and you can see it in their eisegesis of scripture. And it's important that women can see this and hear this and not view this as catty. It's
right
not even necessarily controversial,
yeah,
but we should be able to have these conversations and have them well
yes
with unbelievers and believers alike.
To the glory of God.
To the glory of God. Yeah. So that's my just quick 10 cents on what happened in my discussion with Dory Micah.
Yes. Okay. So to sort of expand, so we talked about the specifics of Dory Micah. We talked about inerrancy of the scripture. We talked about this a little bit in our show prep, and I want to talk about sort of the, well, okay, let's make this fit into the conversation. So one of the things that, here's a learning moment. You guys can learn a little something about Summer and I. I am totally not a social media person. I don't really post on the internet. I don't know where to, like, controversy, for the sake of a better, for lack of a better word, doesn't follow me. I don't have a nose for it on the internet.
Right. And I just grew up with it.
But you do. Like, and I'm not saying that's like a bad thing. I'm just saying
it's okay.
Right. It's a complimentary
true
thing to me, because
right
we would probably have nothing to talk about on this show if both of us were bad at that. The little that I know about Dory Micah, and I'm not saying I know some important things about her enough to know that.
Right. No, I don't
know.
Yeah.
A common thing that she talks about is the idea of gender equality. We talked about it.
Oh,
that was what
right
spurred this whole
right
thing, essentially. That meme, that meme was all about, like,
right,
you can do all things, oh, except for teach. Like, doesn't that seem
right
so hypocritical?
Right.
Silly church.
Right.
So quickly, I just want to talk about what gender equality means to us. You already talked about being equal
before the
at
cross
the cross.
Right.
I guess we can just take this moment to be clear about what we think of gender equality.
Right.
I think that gender equality, it's another one of those words that doesn't mean
co-opted
what it actually means.
Yeah,
in this
it's been co-opted completely.
And so, okay,
when you hear someone, I would say 99% of the time when you hear someone say gender equality, what they're really talking about is you need to tolerate the perversion that I believe in right. terms of homosexuality, transgenderism, all of those issues.
Otherwise, you believe in inequality.
Right. And then in cases like Jory Micah, where her big thing is egalitarianism and women should be preaching and behind the pulpit, for her, and that means that if women aren't behind the pulpit, then you don't view women with the same amount of worth that right. you view men.
Yes.
Which is interesting because she talks a lot, and I completely agree with her, with how radical Jesus's view of women was for the time that he lived in. And right. it was absolutely radical because I remember James White talking to me about this, just explaining that in the New Testament, the way that you see the treatment of women is so, it goes against the cultural view of them, which was so negative and less than. And you never see Jesus treating women as less than. And that is absolutely 1,000,000% true. Now, does that necessitate then that women and men can have the same roles in the church? No, we've been given the God-given roles of women and men in the church, and they are not the same. And that's abundantly clear, and you can do all the gymnastics that you want in the right. text to buck against that. But here's one interesting thing, and I wanted to read this one line from Jory's master's thesis that should concern you, and it's about gender equality. But she says in her master's thesis on page 4, while Jesus walked the earth as a male, there is no biblical evidence that Jesus's glorified body is still male. This is a Gnostic heresy, just if you want to recognize
right.
what that is. It's heretical. And again, it makes me confused because I'm thinking, if gender equality, whatever you deem that to be, is so important, then why all this emphasis on there being no gender?
Right.
I don't get it.
That's something that has always red flagged my brain, is just like, gender can either be gender or it can be nothing, but it can't be both.
Right.
It can't be fluid and also concrete. Like,
right.
It either has to, like, gender has to be, or there
it's
is
meaningful
no gender.
Or it's not meaningful, right. and it can't be situational, right?
Yes.
So it confuses me as well.
Okay, so I know that we're going a little longer than we usually do. I don't even know how to say that. But let's answer the question, because I know we're going to get it. Why is us doing this podcast okay?
Oh, because we're quote unquote teaching?
Yeah.
Are we teaching?
I don't know.
No, I don't think that we're in a church setting where we're teaching.
No.
I think that women, and I've said this before, it should not have to be explained that we can discuss
right.
theology. Theology is something you live out every second of the day. You believe, you live out your beliefs about God literally every moment of your life.
Yes.
And so we are not, I'm not teaching a Bible study. I'm not, you know, before men. And I'm totally fine with women's Bible studies, by the way. I've gone to a few great ones.
Yeah.
But we are not putting ourselves in a place of leadership or authority over men in the church. And that's just not even a thing I would ever do. And it's not because I don't think I can teach. Like, I can
right.
teach, and I can do it in the right setting, which
right.
is not over men.
Perfect.
Period. End of story.
That is exactly the answer I wanted to that pointed question.
Woohoo!
Anyway.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Joy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you said that.
I do. And I don't know if this is an entertaining question at all, but I want to know this about you.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So, if one song played on the radio for the rest of your life, and it was the only song that could play on the radio, what would it be? And this is going to tell me so much about you, so no pressure.
I'm going to be practical about this.
That says a lot.
And go with a lengthy song that I love.
Oh, it's that Celine Dion song written by Meatloaf, isn't it? What's that? You know, that like 18 minute song.
I am a huge Celine Dion fan. It's like, you know me.
There were nights when the wind was so cold.
I'm totally not a Celine Dion fan. But I would have to go with...
I'm so excited to hear this.
Dmitri Shostakovich's Ninth Symphony. It's my practical choice because it's long and I love it.
What?
And I could listen to it forever.
Wow, Joy, I'm learning a lot about you right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to look that up. If you could spell Dmitri for me, then I would be happy to listen to that.
He was a Russian composer.
Okay.
He's my favorite composer.
Now you're showing how uncultured I am.
No, you. I don't think so.
Well, you didn't ask me mine, and now I'm not
telling
you.
Okay, what is yours?
No.
But I want to know.
Now everyone... Okay.
It's not Celine Dion.
It's not Celine Dion. I don't think you're actually ready for this.
Okay.
Okay, so my favorite song of all time is the song I would choose.
Okay.
I decided years ago, I'm not superstitious, just a little stitious. And I decided a long time ago that if this song came on the radio, I was probably going to have a good day. And it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's happened.
Right.
When this song comes on the radio and I get to hear it, I've had a great day.
You spoke it into the universe.
I spoke it into being.
I am divine.
Are you Stas?
No, not at all. Okay.
I can't believe I didn't say that one word in this whole anything. My song would be Should Have Been a Cowboy by Toby Keith. And I want you to know I have no shame in my game.
Okay. I'm not even ashamed of you.
And when I hear that song, I cry because I'm so happy.
Because you should have been a
because
cowboy.
Because I should have been a cowboy.
A cowgirl.
And that's actually how I feel about myself. So...
That's awesome.
Everyone go listen to that song and listen to Shostakovich's 12th Symphony.
Dmitri Shostakovich's 9th Symphony.
Okay. And have a blessed
You've
day.
You've actually, honestly, you've probably heard it before.
Probably.
So.
It's like for release or something.
No.
Sorry. I just called you basic. I'm sorry. I take it all back.
Anyway, thanks guys for listening.
Yeah.
We are going to have another show up next week and...
check out sheologians.com.
Yes, sheologians.com. And
we'll see you next
Summer's
week.
Blog.
Yes.
That is also at sheologians.com.
Yes, please.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye.